Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
For our papers, I want you to write down as your heading, the sin of distraction. The sin of distraction. Now, as I deal with the lesson for this evening, this is going to be a myth-busting lesson. Huh? It's going to be myth-busting. It's going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to say some things that are going to make you feel some type of way. I'm letting you know in advance. Okay? So let's recap. Number one, spiritual focus is the desire and discipline to remain fixed on the standard of God. This was our definition. Spiritual focus is the desire and discipline to remain fixed on the standard of God, regardless of circumstance. Say, regardless of circumstance. All right. True focus is verified. This is important. True focus is verified when the antagonist called distraction is present. You are not focused if there is no distraction. Don't tell me, oh, I'm so focused when there's nothing there to distract you. True focus is verified when distraction is present and you choose to ignore it. Does that make sense? Here's number three. We cannot truly say that we are focused if we've never used the muscle of focus in the presence of distraction. If you've never had to cancel out, to choose to ignore something that is distracting you that you actually want to be distracted by. Amen. That you actually want to be distracted by. If you've never had to do that, you can't tell me you're focused. Because eliminating the distraction, I'm going to remove the app, I'm going to turn off the TV, whatever that is, that doesn't tell me you're focused. You're focused when distraction is present, but you choose not to yield to it. Number four, to achieve true spiritual focus, all this is recap. To achieve true spiritual focus, we must value focus over distraction. We must value focus over distraction. Now, I told you guys on Sunday that value is assigned, believed, and stewarded. Assigned, believed, and stewarded. So when I say that my focus is valuable, I'm saying this is how much my focus is worth. When I say I believe, I'm saying that no matter what sales pitch my distractions try to give me, focus is more important. When I say stewarded, I mean that I have a behavior, a consistency that aligns with the value that I say I put in focus. So now the issue when it comes to being distracted is that many of us have made distraction a normative enemy. Like, we say stuff like, oh, I just got distracted. How many of y'all have ever said that? Oh, I just got distracted. And we've made it a normative enemy, almost like it's just gonna happen. And so when distraction pops up, you don't think too much about it. Now, I understand for any of my people who are into productivity, anytime you get distracted from something, even if you're distracted for just a brief moment, it actually takes 20 plus minutes to get back to what you were doing. So if I'm working on something and then that brief moment that you grab your phone, and send one text, it takes you 20 plus minutes to get back to what they call the flow state, okay? So we minimize that because everybody has told us it just happened. So you're doing stuff like do not disturb on your phone and, you know, all of those type of tools and tactics. However, the efficacy of distraction is only realized when it has accomplished its task of derailing you from what matters most. Explain. Distraction is not done until it wins. Distraction is not done until it wins. And the way that distraction wins is by assigning, listen to this, is important, greater value to the alternative path. I'm making it all practical because when I get to the scriptures, we're going to get over the deep end. Listen to me. What distraction tells you is that there is greater value in the distraction than what you're doing. It assigns greater value to the alternative path. But being distracted, and specifically, guys, from the way of the Lord. So this includes the task of the Lord, the mindset of the Lord, and all the habits that the Lord requires. Being distracted, it is not a struggle. It's sin. I told you I was taking my time. See, I was taking good notes, and you were like, oh, it's a nice class. No. Being distracted from the task that God tells you, the mindset you're supposed to have, the habits the Lord requires, it's not a struggle. It's sin. I'll give it to you even more plainly. Distraction is another God. And last I checked, the scripture says, I will have no other gods before me. Distraction is a little g God. It wants to derail you from the things of God and present an alternative path that it says is more valuable. Distraction says, take a break. Okay. Knowing that the break's going to turn into an hour. An hour's going to turn into a day. The day's going to turn into a month. And before you know it, you're making a New Year's resolution. So in the text that we were in on Sunday, I'll read through it quickly. Matthew 3, verse 1. Come on, let's move. Let's move. I've already been up here 8 minutes. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. This is 3:1. Saying, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Now, John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. Got you. Jerusalem was going out to him. All Judea, all the district of around the Jordan. Verse 6. They were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confess their sin. Now here's where I dug in on Sunday. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8. Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you, that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe, verse 10, is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So John the Baptist, as I said on Sunday, he was not distracted by three things that came at him. The first one in verse 7 is success. Because everybody is coming out to him, and he sees in verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, he could have said, "Woo, I'm doing good." But he didn't get distracted by success, just like we shouldn't. Even though it seems like things are going well, don't get distracted by success. Because, watch this, we have to make sure that we stay the course and don't get caught up celebrating a win that is not the full victory. Okay? Don't get caught up celebrating a win that is not the full victory. Amen. It would be like a football player catching an interception and not running. Like, just don't run. You catch the interception and you do a full-fledged celebration. With the ball in your hand, you celebrating the catch, and you forgot to run. Get to the end zone, right? He did not get distracted by bitterness and frustration. Right there, some of y'all need to repent. That's 7B, still in verse 7. You brood of vipers who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Now, this is where some of us are right now. Your victory is being held up by your anger. Your anger is an alternative path to forgiveness. Okay, y'all. And what happens is when you start valuing getting them back over being right with God, you can't get to what God has for you because you're still mad at them. Okay? So you cannot be distracted by success, but you also cannot be distracted by the frustration and the anger and the bitterness or any. But they did. I don't care what they did. It doesn't make any bit of difference. Does this make sense? I use sports analogies because, you know, we feel some type of way. Draymond Green hit that boy in his face yesterday. He popped that dude dead in his jaw. I mean, swung that hand around and popped him dead in his face, right? Now, what if the guy who gets hit is mad the rest of the game? Draymond gone. He got ejected. So now you're done playing because you're mad at somebody who's not even in the game anymore. Listen, listen. It's the ref's job to eliminate that. It's my job to do my job. Okay. So if God says vengeance is mine, that means that God told me that vengeance is not my job. Oh, it done got quiet again already. It ain't got good yet. I'm not going to do your job, God. I don't have time for vengeance. Does that make sense? So I'm not distracted by success. I'm not distracted by bitterness and frustration. I'm also can't get distracted with the fear associated with the will of God. Some of us won't do it because we're actually afraid of what doing the will of God is going to mean for us. He says in verse 8, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Verse 9, don't suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. That's strong talk. But he's not afraid. This goes back to week one on being bold. Any distraction, if John the Baptist would have been distracted by any of those things, listen, it would have taken him away from what he was called to do. If he would have got distracted by any of those things, he would have been taken away from what he was called to do. Third time. If he was distracted by any of those things, he would have been taken away from what he was called to do. Why is that important? Because that wouldn't have been a struggle. That's sin. Because if John the Baptist is supposed to be preparing the way, anything that distracts him from preparing the way, including success, bitterness, anger, frustration, fear, is sin. This also means, in its simplest terms, when you're supposed to be praying, but instead you're watching TV, the TV is sin. Okay, y'all don't want to talk to me tonight. That distraction is not a struggle. It's sin. It's not a struggle. I'm struggling. No, you're not. Don't call it that. Because, see, when you call it that, you're letting yourself off the hook. Call it what it is, and then you can repent of it instead of putting up with it. When you call it a struggle, you don't do what sin requires. See, if I call sin something else, I don't do what I'm supposed to do with. We know what to do with sin. Repent. Right? We know how to handle sin. But when you don't call sin sin, guess what you never do? Repent. Which means, watch this, repentance is an internal change which results in an external action. Repentance is an internal change which results in an external action. This is why you cannot remove the apps from your phone and expect the external action to trigger an internal change. If scrolling social media is taking you away from the time that you should be in the Word, you're not struggling with social media addiction, you're in sin. So I want to deal with, it can't be that bad. I don't want to let the Bible do it. Go to James, please. Some of y'all looking at me, I knew it was gonna be this way. I knew it was gonna be this way. God was giving me these notes. It was working with me. I knew it was gonna be like this. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, please. Verse 13. It's on the screen, but I need y'all to see this in your home Bibles. No, it ain't on the screen yet. It's gonna be there directly. James chapter 4, go on your paper Bibles. Or your devices. James chapter 4, verse 13. Are we there? Amen. In the sanctuary, are y'all there? All right, James 4, 13 through 17. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, engage in business and make a profit. Verse 14, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, verse 15, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and also do this or that. Verse 16, but as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Verse 17, here it is. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin, not a struggle. Sin, not bothering you. Sin. So notice in the text, putting off, listen to this. I'll put it to you real simple. Putting off what should be done today is a problem. Did y'all catch that? Y'all not talking to me. Go back to verse 13. Jesus Christ. Verse 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go to such a city and spend a year there and engage in business. Let me go back. Putting off what should be done today is a problem. How many of you in this room? Lord, have mercy. Say, I'll get to it tomorrow. Now, wait a minute. If it needs to be done today, and you say, watch this, when you know it needs to be done today, that I'll do it tomorrow. That's a problem. Wait, hold on. Watch this. Our natural lives are a reflection of our spiritual lives. So if you lack natural discipline, you also lack spiritual discipline. Oh, Jesus. So we'll say stuff like, I'm just being lazy. Notice how now you have discounted laziness as something to be tolerated. So putting off what should be done today is a problem. Making future plans outside the will of God is also a problem. Okay, let's go back. Okay, Lord, have mercy. Verse 14, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Why are you talking about tomorrow? Do it today. You don't even know what, you're just a vapor. Appears for a little while, verse 14, vanishes away. Verse 15, instead you ought to say if the Lord wills, we'll live also and also do this or that. It doesn't say that, the scripture's not telling us that it's a problem with planning. But there is a problem with planning and you haven't included Jesus. He says, now, if you're going to plan, make sure you like, Lord, what you want? It ain't got nothing to do with you. So again, putting off what should be done today, problem. Making a future plan outside the will of God, problem. But here's that third point in the text. Knowing what should be done today and still not doing it, problem. It's sin. Okay, y'all didn't like that. Verse 17, therefore to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. This is the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I put my trust in the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. That's what it is. Amen. So when your professor, for those of y'all who might be in school, tells you when the paper is due, and you immediately check the syllabus for the grace period. Sin. You're already planning not to be diligent. You're building distraction into your life. It's due on this day. Then you start reasoning with yourself. So I got a 10-day grace period with no deduction, 15-day grace period with 5%. Can I take a 5% hit? Huh? I might be able to take a 5% hit. Huh? Sin. This is what distraction does. Come on, breathe. I got 20. No, I got 40 more minutes. I've been up here 20. 40. That's why I only gave y'all 30 minutes flat on Sunday. I was like, I knew it was going to be this way. This is what distraction does. It takes you away from what should be done and causes you to do something else by assigning a greater value to the alternative action. Write down the word distract in your notes. I'm about to give you a definition. Write down the word distract. To distract, it actually comes from a Latin word meaning to draw apart. To draw apart. Uh-huh. That should touch you already. It means to draw or direct one's attention to a different object or in a different direction at the same time. So I'm distracted when I should be doing this, but instead I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. I should be, but I am. That's a distraction. I've been drawn away from what I should be doing. Think about that spiritually. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Distraction said, don't come to him. Go somewhere else. Draw apart. Draw away from. Now listen, what you're distracted by takes control of your trajectory. What you're distracted by takes control of your trajectory. When something distracts you, it's trying to take control of where you're going. It aims to entice you, to derail you. It has an alternative path. And it's easy for us, and we'll keep bringing it back here, it's easy for us to confine distraction to stuff like, it's too noisy, I can't get stuff done in here. Too loud in here, I can't get nothing done. Think about that. Too loud, I can't get nothing done. This environment not right for me to get nothing done. I don't like my environment. I ain't got my creature comforts. I would have got a whole lot more done if I had my favorite cup. I can't get nothing done without my cup. I can't get comfortable. I can't get nothing done. I'm hot. I can't get nothing done. I'm cold. I can't get nothing done. It's too early. I can't get nothing done. It's too late. I can't get nothing done. It's raining. I can't get nothing done when it's raining. Rain make me sleepy. I can't get nothing done. It's snowy. Snow ain't productive weather. That's blanket weather. I can't get nothing done. Think about the stuff we say. I'll delete social media. Then I'll be able to get something done. I'll turn off the TV. Then I'll be able to get something done. What we're saying is I refuse to build the muscle called focus. I want to blame my lack of focus on everything else except for me. All of what I said could be true. It could be freezing outside. It could be dreary. All of that can be true. But distraction is not confined here. Distraction is based upon devaluing focus. Go. Yep, give up, give in, give to.
Okay, and so how does that play an effective part in not being distracted?
So when we come to Advent, I always tell you guys three things: give up, give in, give to. We do the same thing during our Lenten time. When we're doing this, what we're doing is we're using natural means to build supernatural precision and focus and discipline. So when you give up, there are some things in your life that are actually building those distractions. Give them up. See, even when it comes to fasting, you don't fast because the fast in and of itself is supernatural. You fast because fasting teaches your body that when I say no, I mean no. So all of this is about building the muscle. It's about building the muscle of focus. And it's funny because I know I got some mothers in here. I remember we used to drive 2 hours one way to church. When I was youth pastor for my dad, church was 2 hours one way. And we did that 2 to 3 times a week. 2 hours one way. I did it for 10 years. Okay? I know. Never mind. So for 10 years. And I would be in the car sometimes. I'd have to teach. So on a Wednesday, I would leave work at 5. Bible study started at 7. I got a 2-hour drive. So I would get out of the car immediately hitting the highway because I got to get there, get out of the car and teach, get back in the car, drive all the way back to Dayton after I had taught Bible study and be back to work the next day. I did that on Wednesday. And so my wife had this amazing superpower that when our children were in the back and they would be little in the car seat and they would be screaming bloody murder and I am trying to get my mind ready to teach, she could tune them out. It's a mother's superpower. I'd be losing it. She'd just be in the car like, I'm like, oh my God. And she'd just be. Huh? Imani and Ania, they would be back there like, you looking at me, you looking at me, you looking at me. Did you hear what daddy said? Stop, Nene, stop, Mani. I mean, they would be back there going on, and Jamila would just be looking forward. Meanwhile, it's like nails on a chalkboard, like, ah, that's focus. What am I going to do with the kids? It's not like I could let them out the car. See, she had a focus muscle. Car, y'all paying attention? Focus is not validated by the elimination of distraction. Focus is validated when the distraction is present, but it don't get to me. Okay? So please understand. Think about it in terms of the Lord. What has God, okay, it's gonna get tighter. What has God told you to do, or what has He been telling you to do that you keep putting off because of something arbitrary? Yeah, I know. This is especially true for some of my milestone Christians. You waiting for the dates to line up for everything to look real pretty, right? I'll start January 1st. Huh? Like, that's not gonna work. Huh? Or like some of y'all are like, ooh, I know a good day. I know a good day to start something new. Are we gonna wait till February 24th? Because then it'll be 2-2-4-2-4. That's a good day to start something new. God's like, so wait a minute. You're gonna be in sin for the next 3 months. Right, right. You're going to rely on grace and be in sin for the next 2 months so that you can put down, I started on 2-2-4-2-4. God is like, for real? Truth is, we have valued the distraction over the discipline. You valued the distraction over the discipline. That's sin. What if John the Baptist would have been distracted and neglected to prepare the way? Maybe, just maybe, you are not being attacked by the devil, but instead, you're distracted. You have assigned a greater value to your functional savior, your distractor, and been drawn away from what God told you to do. To take it even further, most of us have emotional distractions, huh, that are actually giving way to the tangible distractions. You don't watch TV because you like the show. You watch TV because it allows you to escape about a life that you wish you had. You're not scrolling on Instagram because you like the social media. You're scrolling on Instagram because you're trying to live vicariously through people who you do not know. You're not scrolling through Twitter or whatever it is because you want to keep up on the news and get the latest and greatest breaking information. No, you're scrolling on Twitter because it is a place that you can scroll through and hope you see some pornography every now and then. quiet in the cathedral today. You have an internal problem that is manifesting itself in an outward issue. That requires repentance, not do not disturb on your phone. Not time limits. It requires an internal change that then manifests in external actions. Okay, I'll give y'all some examples since y'all still looking at me funny. Moses, when he encountered the plan of God for his life, was distracted by his perceived capabilities. I got this issue and that issue. God ignored that. Isaiah, when he encountered the plan of God for his life, was distracted by perceived defilement. I'm unclean. My people is unclean. God ignored that. Jeremiah, when he encountered the plan of God for his life, was distracted by perceived immaturity. I'm too young. God ignored that. Jonah, oh, here's my favorite. When he encountered the plan of God for his life, was distracted by his own disdain for the people God loved. I can't go to Nineveh. You're going to mess around and forgive them. Many of us are just in those four. You're distracted by your perceived capabilities, distracted by your perceived defilement, distracted by your perceived immaturity, or distracted by, God, if I forgive them, you go mess around and bless them. If I get over it, I might figure out that you've been over it. So I'm willing to be held up because I'm held up. I'm praying for a bunch of stuff that requires me to be way down the road, but I'm still frustrated about an issue that's nowhere close to my destiny. I'm bringing people to you that are not connected to my destiny, situations to you that are not connected to my destiny. I'm distracted by an entire group of people who are not going where you're telling me to go. I'm still mad about it. That's like literally being asked to come to draft night. You're about to get drafted, first round, projected to go, first round, first pick. And you say, I'm not showing up because I'm still mad about my little league game. I can't believe that coach didn't let me play. Wait, that coach. Where you at? You're held up from destiny over a circumstance that you should have learned from, not been damaged from. Why are you telling me that the damage is not real? No, it happened, but you choose what to do with that damage. So each of those men were brought back to the task at hand, just like we need to be brought back. What brings you back? Repent. When you know to do right, because if you don't, guess what it is? Sin. Each of these men brought their distraction before the Lord as a reason not even to start. So distraction can keep you from starting. Distraction can literally keep you from starting. But here's another one. Go to Matthew 14, 22. Matthew 14, 22. We'll go through 31. Matthew 14, 22 through 31. Distraction can also keep you from finishing. Matthew 14, 22 through 31. Matthew 14, 22 through 31. Come on, turn. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat, go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. All right. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Now, please be mindful. He just told him to go to the boat. Are y'all in the room? Y'all still flipping pages. I don't understand. Don't y'all be relying on them screens. I'll go screenless. Don't be relying on them screens. Come on, get them Bibles going. Matthew 14, 22. He made the disciples get in the boat. Now, Jesus, if you made me get in the boat, what you made me do ain't gonna kill me. Right. If you told me to be here, I'm safe. regardless of what I see. We walk by what? Not by. Skip to verse 24. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Y'all do see that there's a storm already, right? Fourth watch of the night, verse 25, he came to them walking on the sea. Nowhere have we read so far that the storm has stopped. Do we agree? That means he's walking on the water in a storm. Are y'all paying attention? Please do not miss this point. Jesus is walking on the water in a storm to a boat that he sent into the water. Are y'all paying attention? Okay. When the disciples, verse 26, saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, said, "It's a ghost." They cried out in fear, bless their hearts. 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." 28, Peter said to him, "Lord, if it's you," that is so crazy. I just said it was me. I just said it's me. Right. Peter was like, "If it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Now, wait a minute. Jesus is walking in a storm. At no time have we been told that the storm stopped. It's storming the whole time. This whole conversation is taking place during a storm. Peter talking to him during the storm, the entire time. It ain't calm, it's storming. He said, "Come on." Verse 29, Peter got out the boat. It's still storming. Walked on the water while it's storming. Came toward Jesus. It's still storming. Verse 30, but seeing the wind. For real, bruh? That's distraction. He just assigned greater value to the wind than the voice. He allowed the storm to draw him away, to be drawn away, from the voice of God. He saw the wind. He became, wait a minute. So now, once the alternative path distracts me, I'm under control of the path. And the path starts telling me how to feel. When I was only focused on the voice, I wasn't afraid. As a matter of fact, the voice told me not to be afraid. Now that I start focusing on the voice, I become what the voice told me not to be. Okay. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." Distraction told me I must be afraid, which means that your distraction is absolutely contrary to the will of God. If he would have never focused on the wind, if he would have never assigned greater value to the wind, he would have never got scared. Because the voice, which he should have been distracted on, told him not to be scared. So when you're supposed to be doing one thing, and then you take them 5 minutes off to scroll through InstaLive, right? InstaLive is going to tell you, "You're too this, not enough of that. You should be on vacation. You should be doing this. Why they got it before you?" It's going to turn you away from the very thing that God is trying to focus you in on. Then he began to sink. He wasn't sinking when he was focused. He wasn't sinking when he was focused, which means the storm didn't sink him. The distraction did. Yes. He sunk himself. Yeah, it was storming when he got out the boat. Now you want to talk about, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith. You of little faith. You of little pistis is the word faith in the Greek. Pistis. It means foundation. You of little foundation, you of little substance, you of little evidence, you of little characteristic that pleases God." So remember, to achieve true spiritual focus, we must value focus over distraction. Are y'all all right? Breathe. I got 21 more minutes.
Oh my God. Can we take a breathe break?
Yo, the clock going slow, ain't it? She just knew it was going to say 8:15. No, I'm looking at it. This means, watch this. Listen. Breathe. I started at 7:15. Don't play with me. We go 1 hour, and I'm taking all my time. I'm reclaiming my time. This means that a lack of focus points. Let me say it slow, because I don't want y'all to miss it while y'all sitting there being bothered by my time. Y'all ready? A lack of focus points to an issue of stewardship. I'll say it again. A lack of focus points to an issue of stewardship. The devaluing of the priceless plan of God for your lives by assigning greater value to anything that would draw you away from that plan is poor stewardship. Therefore, sin. Sin. So you mean to tell me, God, that you know the thoughts you have for me, but I decided that this detour that I want to take is more valuable than the thought you had for me. See, when you confine the will of God to the destination and not the discipline required to get there, okay, yes, that's good to me. If God tells you that this is the plan of God for your life, everything required to get to the destination is also in the plan. So being distracted at any point during that time is also against his will. See, we think that as long as we've still said yes to the destination, that we don't need to repent for our distractions on the road. Okay, so I'm called to do what I'm doing right now, okay? But to do what I'm doing right now requires prayer, study of the Word of God, like for real. I got to study the Word of God, like for real, right? It takes rest. It takes proper nutrition. No, for real. So if I get distracted from any of those things, I'm simultaneously telling God that the call to preach don't matter. So how in the world do we just be like, I'm going to preach something? I'll bring out an oldie but goodie. But still try to convince God that the priceless call on my life matters. My lack of discipline in the study is a reflection of how much the call means. So if you say, I'm called to sing, but you refuse to rehearse or take care of your voice or practice the music, huh? What you're saying is, I have minimized that call and replaced it by whatever I was doing during the time that I should have been rehearsing. If you say you're called to be someone's husband or wife, because you walk down into the sacrament called marriage, yeah, and you're called to that, but you refuse to learn proper communication. You refuse to learn how to, watch this, understand their needs. Y'all quiet in here. Even when you're single. Because these aren't lessons you learn when you say I do. These are lessons you're supposed to learn before the I do comes. And if every time the information called marriage comes up, you get distracted by the frustration of your current singleness. Okay. And now all of a sudden you start feeling some type of way because you're distracted by the I wish instead of get prepared. You're so mad that you're not married that you're never going to be prepared to be married. All right. I got to value focus over distraction. Amen. Because if I lack focus, I got poor stewardship. Luke 12, talking to my media team. Luke 12, 42 through 48. For some reason, my slides didn't get to them, but that's all right. They working with me. Luke 12, 42 through 48. Y'all turning y'all paper Bibles. Luke 12, 42 through 48. Let's look at it in the Word. I said that distraction is poor stewardship. That's what I said. Luke 12, 42 through 48, it reads, the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. So don't let me find you resting. Let me find you doing. And don't let me find you doing what you want. Let me find you doing what I assign. Verse 44, truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But, verse 45, if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time coming. Come on. And begins to beat the slaves, that's outside of the scope of his requirements. I didn't tell you to do all that beating the slaves. Both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. You're distracted during what you're capable of, but not what you should. The master, verse 46, of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know, and cut him in pieces, and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Verse 47, I know it. That slave who knew his master's will, good God Almighty, and did not get ready or act in accord with his will. Are y'all reading the same Bible as me? Will receive many lashes. Leave this verse up. The slave who know what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. See, we overlook verses like this because you see the word slave and go, that ain't talking to me. Yeah, it is. When you know what you're supposed to be doing, huh? And you don't get ready or act in accord with his will. That's everything that goes with it, y'all. You know what you're supposed to do. You've been given your assignment. So everything that corresponds to the assignment is also expected. You can't say yes to the assignment and no to the discipline the assignment requires. You can't say that. Huh? Pay me for getting the job, but I ain't going to work. You don't get to do that. Verse 48, but the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive a few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much of him, they will ask all the more. Write this point down, please. Media team, Romans 6, 16. Write this point down. You belong to what you're distracted by. Come on, write it down. Romans 6, 16. You belong to what you are distracted by. If you think that you can tell your distractions what to do, you have overlooked the reality that even by being distracted, you have assigned more value to it than your purpose. I'm looking at y'all's faces. It's tight in here. I mean, it's tight in the cathedral. You are owned by what you are distracted by, even your fears, your frustrations, your faults, your fatigues, even people. If you're distracted by their life, checking up on them because you're mad and don't think they deserve and you keep following along, trying to see what they're doing every day, you're owned by them. Oh, yes, Lord. So you quietly trolling their pages, because you don't think that they deserve the life, or they owe you money, or they owe you an apology in your mind, and so you going around trying to see what they doing every day, they own you. What they doing now? Let me see what's going on in their life. What's going on in your life? What you doing? What you doing? What you do today? How much time you spend with Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith? Have you said thank you today? No, you done kept up with 20 of your high school friends, though. An ex-boyfriend, an ex-girlfriend, somebody who still owe you $10. You know where all they doing. You know what they had for lunch yesterday. How you owe me $10 and you went out to eat? You know exactly what they had. Ordered Joe steak medium well. You still owe me $10. Messed around and had the nerve, huh, to order side dishes. You owe me $10. You mad, frustrated with them. You're distracted. They own you. They own your life. They own your mentality. You've given them control over your destiny. I don't like that, Bishop. That is fine. Romans 6:16. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as a slave for obedience, Lord have mercy, you are slaves of the one whom you obey. Either sin, resulting in death, or of obedience, resulting in righteousness. It is right there. You're a slave of what you obey. So when you're sitting there, huh? And if I'm sitting here and I'm working on my sermon and I got to give this sermon and I got to make sure that I got a word for God's people, and I'm sitting up there and I pick up my phone and I say, I wonder what's going on over there. They own me. And what I just said, watch this, not only is the call inferior, but the people you sent me to speak to also mean less to me than this. Because I'm spending time where I should be preparing to speak to your people, checking up on people that I'm not assigned to. Oh, never mind. This is distraction. And many of us are victims of it. Why, Bishop? Why does distraction do this? Because distraction turns you toward things that you should have enough discipline to turn away from. It gets you away, draws you. It draws you. It's like, all right, don't do God's will. Do my will. Do my will. Whatever it is. And distraction can seem harmless until it's taken 4 of your hours. It's like it's harmless. It'll just be a moment. Before you know it, huh? Your kids done put themselves to bed. And you still got the phone up to your face. Because you're distracted. And you didn't hear that your kid had a bad day from school. Then you want to fuss and start beating people because they didn't finish their chores. Your chores that you assigned to them. Many of our children act the way that they act because we have assigned adulting to them when they're still kids. And we have assigned the adulting to them while they're still kids because we are distracted by still trying to be kids when we're adults. Second Peter chapter 2. Did y'all hear what I said? 2 Peter Media, 2 Peter chapter 2, 17 through 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, 17 through 22. 7 more minutes. You got 4? 7 on my clock. 6 now. 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, 17 through 22. It reads, these are springs without water, mist driven by a storm. Look at that. For whom the black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. Watch this. Look at this. Look at B. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Do y'all see it? For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world, by the knowledge of the Lord, when you know better, and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For, verse 21, it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandments handed on to them. Verse 22, it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire. That's distraction. It is distraction to, remember, to be distracted, to turn from, to be drawn away. When you're distracted, you return to things that you should have enough discipline to turn away from. So what you saying, Bishop? I'll tell you what I'm saying. Putting off what should be done today is a problem. Making future plans outside the will of God is a problem. Knowing what should be done and not doing it is a problem. It's all sin. This is what distraction does. It takes you away from what should be done and causes you to do something else. And it does this by assigning greater value to the alternative paths. I want everybody in this room to think about what should be done. And once you determine what should be done, I want you to also determine what discipline it takes to do it. Anything that takes you away from what should be or the discipline, sin. Not struggle. Sin. Amen. We must assign the greatest value to the Lord. Otherwise, stop singing the song, because God is the greatest power. Stop singing that song. You don't believe it. We must assign the greatest value to the Lord and all he asks of us. And when I say all he asks, I assign the greatest value to the discipline required to live according to his will. You shall have no other gods. Amen. No other gods. You can't. You don't get to assign the value. His call assigns it. I wish I was knowing. Don't get distracted. Your I wishes might mess around and take you off course. Are y'all catching any of this today? If we're going to be focused, like John the Baptist, because some of us, with John the Baptist, as soon as them Pharisees came out, you would have been like, I won. It's over. Y'all out here, I've done my job. When the Pharisees is getting baptized, I must be God's preacher. Right? I'm done. We're through. God is like, no. Well, I can't tell them they're vipers. Yes, you can. Stick to the course. Do what's required. Be disciplined for the whole journey. Be disciplined for all it takes. If any of you are sitting there saying, I lack this discipline, repent. Where am I going? What does it take to get there? Don't let anything distract you. Are you saying I can't never have no fun? I'm saying that you can't allow any of that to distract. Jesus rested. He just didn't rest while he was working. Jesus went on vacation. He just didn't allow vacation to get in the way of the work. He ate, and he ate good. Made sure everybody else ate. Just didn't let that get in the way of his work. The problem, see, distraction draws you away from the work. Go ahead. Go to the movie. It's no problem. Have your date night. You need that. The issue is when you try to study to teach the lesson while you watch the movie and scroll social media while you're texting your best friend on the phone with your mom. Don't add while you cooking dinner with a load of clothes in the washer. Amen. You're distracted. Father, I thank you and I honor you. I give you praise. Allow us to be transformed, God, to take this word to heart so that we can be focused. Help us build the muscle called focus. And apply the muscle called focus to every area of our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Clap those hands.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.